Well, good morning. Happy Sabbath to each of you. It's hard to believe that we are in the fourth quarter and that our next communion service is going to be in the new year. Think about that for a minute. What year are we in again? Five or six? Five, okay. So next year, 2006, right? It's hard to believe that time goes by so quickly. In fact, last Monday, we were at a board meeting at Corning, and we were thinking about our next year's calendar already, and next board meeting we're going to look at that, and I thought, man, didn't we just put our calendar together for this year? We're not even done with it yet, but it's hard to believe that time goes by so quickly. Somebody once said to me, it's like God has his finger on the fast forward button. I don't know if any of you feel like that at times, but sometimes it does feel like that. Well, looking at that, did I see you saying slow? Oh, you hope so. I thought you said mine was going slow, but I hope that throughout this last year, our experience has grown in the grace of Jesus Christ. As year goes by, as day goes by, it's our opportunity to grow in the love and the grace of Jesus Christ, isn't it? Open with me this morning with 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2. I wonder today if any of you would have this theme in your life or in your home. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to look at verse 2. This morning we were talking about Paul, weren't we, in our lesson. The call that Paul received that was from Jesus Christ, who he acknowledged not only came from Christ but God, and his authority was found in the calling that God had given him. Now, we know that Paul is a great theologian. Any of you disagree with that? Nobody would disagree that Paul is one of the greatest theologians of Earth's history, maybe, other than Jesus. But Paul was commissioned by God to spread the gospel to the whole world. Paul, the great theologian who persecuted God's people, who persecuted Christians, was pricked in his heart one day to accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Now, Paul, full of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, scholastically, and so forth, Paul had all wisdom. According to earthly principle, he says something in verse 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. Speaking to the Corinth church, he says this, I determined not to know anything among you. Paul is determined in mind. He says, if there's anything that I have preached, if there's anything that I have sermonized on, if there's any doctrine, any teaching that I have shared with you, this one thing I want to know more. I determine not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The foundation by which we stand all doctrine, the foundation by where we put our feet, the foundation by which we enter into heaven, the foundation by which we are saved from our sins, the foundation by which we even take the communion cup and the bread today is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's really hard to believe that a year has gone by. I know it's not January or December yet, but it sure is close. It's right around the corner. Our next communion service will be in the new year. Is your theme Jesus Christ and Him crucified in your heart? Is it in your home? Is it in your church? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And then Paul goes on to say, in verse 3, I was with you in weakness and in fear, in much trembling. When I came to you to preach the message of Jesus Christ, not knowing anything else but Christ, I came to you with fear and trembling. I wanted to make sure that whatever I teach, whatever I share, the foundation is Christ and Him crucified. And then he says in verse 4, in my speech, in my preaching, was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, In other words, the eloquence that God has given me to preach, the eloquence to share, the eloquence to teach the gospel, the eloquence to know my scripture, it wasn't my wisdom, but God's. My speech, my preaching, was not any of my words, but in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of who? Of men, but in the power of God. Do you think here that God wants us to comprehend and understand Jesus Christ and Him crucified? What is the message that Paul is trying to share with the Corinthian church? He is not trying to share with them that they must have, that they should not have a wisdom in doctrine or teaching. That's not what he's getting across. Those are important. But the foundation on which the church should stand is Jesus Christ. Let's think about this for a moment. Jesus Christ did what for us? What did he do? Yes. I see some lips moving out there. He said all. Jesus did all for us, yes. But Jesus went to the cross of Calvary to die on a tree so that you may have eternal life. Now I look at the congregation and I wonder, how many times have you heard that? How many times have you sniffed around in some articles and you've seen Jesus died for you? How many times have you heard a sermon about Christ and Him crucified? How many times have you read that over and over again? And I wonder if we have heard it so much that we've almost become unfeeling about it. Well, Paul obviously wasn't expecting that the Corinthian church should become unfeeling about the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and surely the spirit of prophecy neither, because she encourages us to go to the cross daily to review what Jesus did for you and I there on Calvary's tree. It seems to appear that the cross of Calvary is to awaken within us an interest of God's divine love for us. It's a purpose to wake within us a desire to know Jesus more. It's supposed to wake within us a greater experience with Christ to not only know that He has taken away my sins, but that God will save me to the utmost if I surrender all to Him. Paul goes on, and he says in verse 9, as he's putting his paragraphs together here, he puts the foundation in chapter 2, that's Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and then he goes with elaborate words, and he says, look, it's not by my power, it's not by any man's power, it's not by my wisdom, but only God's wisdom. Authority comes from Jesus, and you know, anything that I taught, anything I share, I was praying and hoping that I wasn't getting away, that Jesus should be there and God should be there. And then he says in verse 9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that what? What I am drawing from my conclusion in this lesson today is that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, the extent of what the crucifixion was truly all about. We looked at our lesson this morning. Grace is unmerited favor to the sinner. God's infinite love matched with man's humanity. I wonder, in our humanity, can we ever fully comprehend God's great love for us? I really don't think we can. I don't even think in eternity we'll begin to understand. But that we will, in the lesson books of heaven, begin to open up the books of heaven, God's divine books, and we will begin to grasp little by little throughout all eternity, of just how much Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit really loves me. That's going to be our lesson book. Paul Paul's foundation was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You see, Jesus came and died on Calvary's tree, but He made a decision in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He said, "Lord, not my will, but yours what?" You see, it was there in the Garden of Gethsemane, while Jesus was sweating great drops of blood, while He was cleaving onto the cold dirt of the ground, while He was holding onto the dirt, hoping that His life would not be taken right then and there, while the sins of the world, my sins and your sins, were being laid upon the Savior, right there Jesus said, "Lord, not my will, yours be done." Jesus made a decision on our behalf that He would be willing to go to the cross to die for you. Have you heard this message so much and so often that it's just words being shared? Or is it truly a foundation in your life and in your home? You see, the Lord's Supper is just about that. The breaking of the bread is the symbol of Christ's body that was broken for us. Wasn't Jesus broken for us? Wasn't His body split open for us? Wasn't Jesus, did He not suffer the penalty in which you and I deserved? Didn't He do that? Amen. Did He not go to the cross and allow His hands and His feet to be nailed there? Did Jesus not have all power in heaven to come down from that cross and to do something about those people down there that were spitting on Him, persecuting Him, mocking Him? Couldn't Jesus do that? Did not God give Samson all the power to break those bonds that were upon him? And the very one that gave him his power, could he not have broken those bonds that were placed upon him when he was taken from the Garden of Gethsemane? Could not Jesus have allowed all his holy angels to come and to rescue him? Could not Christ have called to the Father in heaven and said, "Lord, this is too much. Wipe these people out"? His body was broken for you and I that we may have eternal life forever. No matter what the sin, no matter what the problem, no matter what we are experiencing, nothing can change the mind of God of His love for you and I. Then there's the wine. The wine or the grape juice symbolizing Christ's blood that was shed for the remission of sins. There Jesus upon Calvary's tree. There Jesus hung between heaven and earth, became the sin for all humanity, became the curse for all humanity, took upon the death in which you and I deserve, and His blood was spilt to the ground. His blood dripped to the ground. And that blood is a symbol of Christ's what? Cleansing of all sin. That tells us today that no matter what the sin may be, no matter what sin may be in the heart, no matter what sins you may be struggling with, Jesus can cleanse you and make you whole. The foundation of our faith is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And friends, we must get to the lost world out there. That is truly our foundation. Have we heard the message so many times that we have grown cold or indifferent to it? Yeah, I've heard that before. But I wonder if it's truly a foundation within our lives. That's why we take communion service. That's why we open up the first of each quarter to take communion service, an opportunity to rededicate, to recommit, and to have our eyes illuminated again to the foundation of the gospel, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I want to invite you today as we go our parting ways for a moment to the foot washing, to contemplate today Jesus and Him crucified. Allow your mind to be overwhelmed with the love of Jesus for you and dying on Calvary's tree. Friends, that is going to be our greatest theme throughout eternity. And friends, if that is going to be a theme in eternity, shouldn't we begin to understand it now? Let's renew our vows. Let's renew our commitments to Jesus today. Let's let the cross of Calvary do its work in our lives. Don't just hang a symbol, you know, or pin it on your lapel or hang it somewhere in your house. Let it be a reality in your life. Let it be a reality. And if you question whether or not this is truly the reality, the foundation of my life, maybe this coming quarter, study the gospel message. Study the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And let your heart be transformed. Let your heart be melted as we realize what it cost all of heaven that you might be saved. Friends, this is our hope. This is our surety. This is our promise that if we come to Jesus just as we are, He will bring us home and through eternity's gates. Amen? Would you mind standing with me as we have an opening prayer as we enter into the foot washing and the communion service today? Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so privileged to know You and to experience Your favor. Let our hearts be moved with compassion towards You. Lord, melt the hearts of us. Remove the dross, Lord, that is in the way. Take away the stony heart and replace it with the heart of flesh. Open our eyes that we may see. Open our ears that we may hear. Jesus, I pray, come close to this service today. May each walk away from this congregation knowing that they have been redeemed, knowing that they have been saved, knowing that they have confidence and a surety in You. And Lord, we thank You that You are truly coming again. Now in this service, I pray that we'll acknowledge it as a holy service and that You would bless according to Your will. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.